Get ready. You're about to enter the Remzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the one, the only Remso Republic podcast. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. Follow me on Twitter at Remso101. That's R-E-M-S-O-101. Welcome back to the show, old and new alike. If you're a new listener, because we're getting those literally every episode, let me tell you our goal right now. It's very simple, kind of cheesy, but every day I'm growing to love it even more than before. Make freedom fun again. Why? Because it's the right thing. It's peaceful, it's prosperous, it's voluntary, it looks for the good of everyone, and most importantly, you get to enjoy life more in the process. Even when it means you gotta take in the hardship, you gotta take the responsibility, you get all the reward. So join me, let's make freedom fun again, and I've got a fun show for you. We're gonna kind of step back from all the seriousness. Well, I can't say this entire season has been all serious all the time, but, you know, it's a good day here in Virginia. I love living outside of D.C. The weather's nice. I've been taking care of my cousin's big golden retriever, and I just love him. He's such a calm dog. I've got all the other bunch of the zoo around me here in the studio, and, you know, it's just a good day. It's a good day to just, you know, chill out, grab a beer, good food, good music. Relax, or in my case, get to record an awesome episode with an old friend. Speaking of which, let's go ahead and bring him on. We're gonna kind of go back and forth, and you know, I don't really have anything planned for this episode, which is fun in the process because it even means I could be surprised of stuff. Well, let's go ahead and bring him on. You remember him from season two when we were talking about the new age to come with the dysfunction in media and government and everything else, and hopefully, since the last time we spoke, things have gotten a little bit better. At least I think so. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Hamilton. Nick, welcome back, buddy.
Remzo, things have gotten a little bit better. It looks like they're coming to where we want. We're taking a few steps ahead, maybe a step back along the way. But like you said, things are getting better.
Exactly. I honestly like being wrong sometimes. I know that sounds really weird. I know people don't like to admit when they're wrong about things, but I am generally happy with President Trump. I honestly feel good saying that because I thought we were going to have, you know, World War III and the Four Horsemen were coming down. But honestly, I am happy right now, and I feel a way I definitely did not feel under the Obama administration, and I feel okay with it. I'm okay saying I'm wrong.
Well, you know, over a year ago, neither you or I were significant Trump supporters, but definitely since he's taken office, we've seen President Trump really take a position of strength, and I tell you, I'm very happy to see how he is representing the U.S. over across seas and in different areas such as welfare and different things like that. Like you said, you know, this is a good time to be wrong. If someone else had got elected, fine. But, you know, our first choice didn't get elected. But, hey, we're happy to be wrong in this instance.
Oh, so absolutely true. And, you know, it's been – by the time this airs, it's like I got to look at the schedule. By the time people are listening to this, it's like around August, September. We've been out of school for a while. And let me tell you, Nick, being self-employed feels really, really weird because the closest thing I've had to like a PTSD moment from college was when I was working on scripts with Eric Pratt for GOA. And Eric likes to script out the episodes. I don't. Mm-hmm. I like to shoot the hip because I don't even know what I'm going to say 2 minutes from now. And I remember the night before our final recording, I'm just, you know, typing down this script, trying to memorize how Eric talks and stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this paper's due tomorrow. And I was put in kind of like a trance for like, oh my gosh, this essay's due tomorrow. But, you know, it feels strange. How's post-college life been for you?
Well, you know, I graduated this past semester. It's been fantastic. We've had some great opportunities this summer. The day after graduation, you know, we had President Trump at graduation, and the next day, the next day I got the opportunity to go on Fox with the director of communications at GOA, Jordan Stein, and we talked a little bit about that and had some really great opportunities since then with some organizations in D.C. You know, I got to tell you, the Lord's been putting the opportunities in front of us, and we're taking them head on. We just got to see what he's going to continue to do. But Remzo, with the Remzo Republic, you've been doing an excellent job. I've enjoyed listening to it, and I'm looking forward to what we're going to see during this episode.
I appreciate it, man. I can tell you up front, you know, if there is one topic I think we kind of want to touch on, it's the fact that, you know, I think we've gone full circle at this point. You know, when we first started getting involved in this stuff, we were just, you know, going to conferences, checking out, like, Turning Point meetings and gun rights meetings and stuff like that. Then we became student activists and we're getting involved not just in the school but in the community, and sometimes we were involved in stuff at a national scale, all from back at Liberty University. And now, I'm not saying we're big shots, but now I feel old, Nick.
Or you feel like we're doing something.
I feel like, you know, it's like, wow, look where I was, look where I'm going, look where I'm at right now. I feel like an old guy. I miss student activism, but at the same time, I also really don't miss it, because a lot of times it really kind of sucked.
Well, to look back on student activism, we are who we are today because of it. From the principles that we learned on campus, working with other students, building relationships with other student leaders on campus, learning more about political philosophy and the principles behind it. You know, we are where we are because of the hard work that we put in. And that's important for us to remember where we came from and to see where we're going to be in the future, to keep pushing.
Exactly. I remember, like, some of my favorite moments were, you know, obviously when we succeeded and when we, you know, accomplished something big, mainly when we got a lot of recognition, because if no one's talking about what you're doing, it in your mind, it's like, oh, it wasn't worth them talking about. I feel like I screwed up. I remember one of the the lowest point of my student activist career was really when I started off. I was the club leader for the first libertarian club at Marion Military Institute, where I got my associates. And we were going to a Students for Liberty conference at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee. And we were so happy because SFL graciously said, we're going to pay for your hotel room. So I show up with the two guys in my club that wanted to come with me to Tennessee. We show up to this, like, prostitute murdering hotel, and it's just, like, the creepiest place. And then we walk into our hotel room, and, you know, there are three of us there. We end up having to sleep in a room of two other people, two beds. So most of us are sleeping on the floor. I won't tell you what happened to the couple we had to sleep with. That got kind of awkward. But I'm just in that, like, roach-infested room, and I'm like, this sucks. This sucks. Yeah. So now to go, you know, years and years and years forward, I feel like, you know, you're absolutely right. Everything led to this.
That's right. Well, you know, the fight that we are fighting is not one that is a bad fight. The fight that we're fighting is for liberty, is for freedom. We're trying to make freedom fun again, and that's what we're trying to do. So, you know, even if we got to suffer a little bit to see results, that's okay with me.
What was the hardest experience, or what was your least favorite experience from student activism?
Probably dealing with other student leadership at Liberty University, trying to get things booked for our club events, working. You know, I think you and I are probably a few exceptions. There's a lot of other great students at Liberty University, but working with students in general, they're incredibly apathetic, and that's just really hard to deal with when you're very passionate. If it's about Second Amendment rights, First Amendment rights, religious liberty, when you're as passionate as you are about those issues and sharing those ideas with other students, and you don't see that same excitement from those other students, that's really disparaging, because you want them to be excited about it, but, you know, they're not always going to be. And that was probably the hardest thing for me to deal with, is not seeing the other people I was working with put as much time towards these projects as I was. And that's just something that you got to do.
Yeah, and you know what, Nick? I've got a few extra questions about that. But first, we've got to hit our first commercial break. Folks, you're listening to the Remzo Republic, making freedom fun again. We'll be back in a moment.
Let's make freedom fun again. Join the Remzo Republic on Patreon today.
Hey, that's really good. Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Rims of the Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
It's time to shake up your podcast feed, folks, by subscribing to Lions of Liberty, the only libertarian variety show out there. Spend Mondays with me, Mark Claire, as I feature in-depth interviews with great names in the libertarian community and fun roundtable discussions.
Electric Liberty Land with me, Brian McWilliams, every Wednesday, your weekly dose of comedy, culture, and liberty.
And Felony Fridays with me, John Odermatt, where I expose injustice in the broken criminal justice system.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey everyone, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is Liberty. Each week we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want when you want. Just email alexmerced at alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
All right, folks, welcome back. We're going to actually continue our conversation from earlier. We talked about the fun. We talked about the parts that really sucked, because when you, you know, in the military, we used to say, you know, you've got to embrace the suck, but you can't be the suck. You have to move past the suck. And, you know, sometimes as a student activist, it really sucked. You're going to be put in a roach-filled hotel room where someone that's in the bed you're sleeping was probably murdered with seven other people. And other times you're going to work with people that just are not as enthusiastic about these things as you are. And you find that with every organization. But when it comes to activism, you're not getting paid. You work really hard. And, you know, a lot of times you could just be extremely frustrated. But, you know, Nick, something I love that you kept saying was the reason why we're doing this is because we're trying to promote liberty. So, you know, since we're the old guys now, you know, we're not pushing 30 anytime soon, but we are the old guys right now. And when you look at, you know, this next generation of people that we helped mentor, this next generation of people who are watching us try and accomplish all this, what are some of the real deep things that you think they need to consider? Because it's easy enough to say, oh, here were my mistakes, here's how you fix it. What are, like, the internal things they need? Because, you know, if you don't have that fire inside of you to do something, you're not going to do it. That is just the truth. And I'm sorry, I'm stammering constantly, but, you know, I get really passionate about this stuff still. What's your advice to them?
You know, so I was in Boone, North Carolina a couple weeks ago at our vacation home, my family's vacation home, and I was sitting on my neighbor's porch talking to them about politics, and they were talking to me about their granddaughters. One of them is a staunch conservative, and the other one is a Bernie Sanders supporter. And I said, you know, they came from the same family. They go to the same college. How did this happen? And one of the things that dawned on me right there and then was we have so many people, even in our age group, you know, the millennials and those who are younger, and so many people that are older. What we lack in politics is supporters with a true and straightforward political foundation. And let me just get into foundation real quick, what I mean by that. When we talk about a foundation, I mean, what are your political views based on? When you talk about natural rights, rights to self-defense, right to speech, you know, those natural rights that we can even find in the Bill of Rights, what are those things doing to shape your political philosophy? Because if we look at the Constitution and the Founding Fathers, and we take these ideas of natural rights, rights that nobody gave to us, but the good Lord above, rights that the Constitution didn't give us, but the rights that God gave us, the rights that the Bill of Rights didn't give us, but God gave us. And if we take these ideas of these rights that we were all born with, right to free speech, right to self-defense, which means Second Amendment rights, right to bear arms, any of those things that we're talking about here, right to religious freedom, they are rights given to us by God. And what's so critical about that is if we were to get our rights from the Constitution, if we were to get our rights from the government, they could always be changed. If it's on pen and paper, it can always be changed. But the rights that God gives us will always be consistent. And that's something huge that so many Republicans across the country of all ages have to understand, that what we're fighting for here isn't just good health care. What we're fighting for here isn't just a good tax system. We're fighting for liberty, so that when people come and immigrate into America, they're proud to be Americans. What happened, you know, 50, 100 years ago to the people that were proud to be Americans? And that's what I want to see. I want to see a political foundation in our voters to know where their political views are coming from, because so many views in the Republican Party are you know, skewed in one area or another. They say, yeah, I'm for Second Amendment rights, but yet are okay with restricting those rights to certain people. You know, that's not okay. We've got Republicans that are for good health care, but they're not going to let the free market do its job. You know, they're good for good health care, but they're not going to let the patient, you know, decide who their doctor is or which plan they're going to take. You know, so these are just a couple of things in the Republican Party, and liberals and millennials and young people have to understand that if we're going to talk about natural rights and we're going to talk about liberty, we have to be for liberty across the spectrum.
Exactly. And when it comes to, you know, just student activism in general, I think I've been able to separate people, you know, yeah, I'm stereotyping. I've been able to separate people into three types of camps. Mm-hmm. You've got the radicals. I'd put you and I in that category. You've got the sociopaths. The guys are like, I want to do this because I just want all these positions, and I don't care what I have to do to just check off a whole bunch of random accomplishments on my list because I want to run for office or get a good job in government. And then you've got the Tommy Lairns that, you know, do it because they just like being around all the pretty people and being near a seat of power. Yeah. And they're not too different from the sociopaths because they just go with what the main talking points are too. They don't really, I mean, they could bend any which way. They could pull mental gymnastics for anything. If it seems like it's popular, they just go with that. And that's why them and the sociopaths are. Except the difference is the sociopaths, they want to gain more, and the Tommy Lairn crew just wants to take selfies with Marco Rubio constantly. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that, you know, that seems to be a big thing. What's your resume? Look at all these people I've taken pictures with. Right. What have you done? Look at all these people I've taken pictures with. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I think you hit on a great point there talking about Tommy Lairn. Of course, she's a bombastic commentator, but we have, you know, all of our media outlets, you know, The Hill, Politico, Fox News, CNN, everybody right now, you know, here in July is talking about Donald Trump Jr.'s, you know, mess up with Russia, whether it was collusion, whether it was a part on the campaign. But, you know, is this something that we're going to be talking about in September? No, it's not. But we still have people like Tommy Lairn, like Fox News, and all of these people talking about issues that aren't going to affect health care, that are not going to affect tax reform. And, you know, honestly, if the Republicans at this point in the year can't get tax reform and health care figured out before 2018, they're done for in the elections.
Exactly. And at that point, it's like, what was all this for? Because, you know, one of my biggest problems as a teenager and a young adult was I wanted to fight everything. I wanted to fight on every hill. I wanted to fight on every you know, word placement. I wanted to fight on every little thing because I thought I need to be scrappy. I need to pick every fight. And the older I get, maybe it's because I've taken a couple, you know, more hits to the head than I like to admit, I don't like to fight about everything. I'm going to be, quote, a little bit more pragmatic. But as a student activist, I mean, that's the thing I want to ask. I mean, when you're young and when you're in the middle of that stuff and you're seeing an impact amongst people, it's like a high. It really pushes you to do more. I mean, I did things as a student activist. I look back at it, I'm like, Remso, you're such a stupid person. And then other times I'm like, wow, I wish I had that energy back. Do you think that student activists need to like be all in, or do you think they need to be like, okay, well, this is just a silly club activity, it'll look good on a resume, and I might get to take a picture with Tommy Lahren and Marco Rubio?
Well, I'll tell you this, Remso, I have seen the success that I have because of the time I spent in student activism. And it wasn't always flashy, it wasn't always glamorous. And there was a lot of learning that happened through those processes. I'll tell you a little bit, you know, probably 2 years ago now, maybe a year and a half, we had someone, a former senator, come to speak at one of our events. And we pushed hard. We tabled, you know, probably a week and a half for that event. We made videos that even got shown in front of the whole student body advertising for the event. We had the speaker come and speak in convocation in front of 14,000 students, and then ended up that night with only 75 people at our event. And, you know, that left me like, you know, what on earth happened? We advertised for this. We pushed for it. We messaged people on Facebook. We sent out advertising. And we're, you know, this speaker was from Illinois, was here in front of 14,000 students, and we can't even get more than 75 here. But what ended up happening shortly after he had come to speak at Liberty University at one of our events that we had with a couple of other clubs is this commentator began to get very bombastic, even to the point of using some very foul language on his social media. And I said to myself, is this somebody that we want to be associated with? Like, hey, we hosted this person, and you know, now, well, how's it going to look on us, Christians for Freedom, a religious, you know, organization, student organization at Liberty University? How is this going to look on us? And that's one of the mistakes that we made, but I learned from it. You know, we make those mistakes. Student activism is a great time to learn how to form relationships with other students, market a message to students, because like I said, they're some of the most apathetic people out there. How do we get those people who aren't going to want to be involved? And we learned some really good stuff through that. And student activism on college campuses is a lot of the reason why that we have people in Washington, D.C. now really fighting the fight for liberty.
Exactly. Nick, we're going to go ahead and keep this conversation going, but first we got to hit our final commercial break. Folks, hang on tight. We'll be back in a minute.
We'll be back shortly.
Visit RemsoRepublic.com for all available content.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with a hooker.
Them yelling at you.
Them yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with, like, tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over engine trouble. And what happened? I don't know.
Seriously, though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing, and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's PreussPodcast.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Merced Cast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcast and Blogging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
America, remember the good old days. You know, like Jeff Sessions remembers. He remembers when the government could just seize your property without even taking you to trial. He thinks that you must be a degenerate because good people don't smoke marijuana, you know, like Barack Obama, or a sexual pervert like William Jefferson Clinton. I remember America.
Jeff Sessions, taking your stuff because he wants it.
Folks, welcome back. We have Senator Ted Cruz on the line. Oh wait, no, it's just Nick. He's still stuck around. Nick, you still there?
I'm still here.
Awesome stuff. So you brought up one of the stories of, you know, a time that really disappointed you as an activist. I remember my very first club meeting. I spent over a month marketing it. It took forever to get approved by the school. I had so much free swag, books, stickers, shirts, everything. I spent like $100 out of my own pocket on pizza. I got a room and we're gonna, you know, watch a few videos and talk about the ideas of liberty and what the club was about. And guess how many people showed up?
Three people.
One person. It was the most difficult thing to deal with because I'm like, I spent all this time, all this effort, all these people said they were going to come and they never showed up.
Even your best friends probably didn't show up.
Oh, they didn't. They did not. It hurt. It hurt a lot. And, you know, we hosted some events. I think the biggest event I held, and remember, there's a school of around 350 students in the Corps of Cadets at Marion Military Institute. So we got maybe 60 people to one event, 40 people to another. But for the club meetings, we never had more than like maybe 2-3 people at most. I think the most we had for a single club meeting was about 15 because we were offering pizza. But yeah, I mean, student activism, a lot of people just don't think it's worth it because of stuff like that. Then they're like, oh, well, you know, all these young kids, they don't really care. They're all socialists or they don't care and they just want the free pizza. They won't pay attention. Where do you see the rewarding factor in it? Because, you know, we've had some great events and we've also had some crappy events. Where do you think it's actually worth it? And do you think it's as important as people say it is?
Well, I'll tell you, the relationships that I was able to build with organizations in D.C. were phenomenal, and that came through my relationship with Christians for Freedom and as being the president. You know, a few of those organizations were one that we're very friendly with, Gun Owners of America. Another organization that Christians for Freedom was able to get form a good relationship was the Family Research Council, Alliance Defending Freedom. We had some amazing relationships built, personal ones and ones that the club built. So I have contacts now in D.C. that are very helpful and great people to work with, specifically because we invited their organization or themselves to come speak at an event. So, you know, we bring them on campus, we take them to a lunch or dinner, blah, 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 and form a good relationship. And, you know, when you get big name speakers in there, you get a lot of people, but then, you know, you may get a big name speaker in, but still only get 75 people in there. So it's like, you know, we had to pay for the flight, the person's hotel room, the food, you know, all of those things. You know, it comes down to, is it really worth it? And when it really gets discouraging is when you host events like, say, for instance, on the Johnson Amendment, and you only have 20 people show up. And the Johnson Amendment is a critically important thing for us to talk
about. You'd think at Liberty University you'd get a larger crowd for that, too.
You would think that, absolutely. It's the largest Christian university in the world. And you'd only get 15 people, 20 people to come to an event talking about religious liberty issue that restricts churches and religious institutions from having political speech. You would think, in a normal world, that you'd get more people than that. But it comes with its frustrations. But every failure that we had was well worth the success that I've had and all of those people involved have had.
Yeah, and I kind of want to start wrapping up the show on a good note. But I remember one of the events you held where you just, like, honestly, Nick, I'll go ahead and just put it out there. There may have been a tear in your eye was when Fire Chief Calvin Cochran showed up to talk about his experience, and you had several people from the Alliance for Defending Freedom and CBN News there, and you had a large showing. And at one point, as you were introducing Chief Cochran, you looked at him and you said, you know, one of the reasons why I founded this group was because of what happened to you and how you fought back, and you inspired me. And that was, I mean, come on, Nick, you got to admit it. You got a little soft in that moment.
Well, you know, we had started the club in 2015, right around the time of CPAC, and right around that time as well, Chief Calvin Cochran, you know, had been fired from his job as the fire chief of Atlanta for authoring a devotional which was focused on the biblical definition of marriage and how men should live out their lives. And so, you know, that got me fired up as well to think about, hey, we're at the largest Christian university in the world. We've got no voice, at least a student voice, for religious liberty, so let's do something about it. And so to end off my last event ever with the club before I graduated with one of the people that encouraged just to start this club was an amazing thing to do. And Alliance Defending Freedom made that happen, and we even got Chief Calvin Cochran in front of the whole school in convocation in front of 14,000 students, and he had an excellent message. And,
exactly.
You know, Chief Calvin Cochran was the fire chief of the United States, or I can't remember which department he was the head of, but President Obama had put him in that position, and he came back to Atlanta. But this man had just lived a great life, started with nothing, lived out his life dream through hard work and ambition, and it was an amazing thing to have him there because he was an excellent speaker, and he had his mind in the right area.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, I could parallel your experience of that. I mean, that was kind of like the highest point. I mean, for you, you went on a high note with that. For me, you know, I mentioned my largest event had 60 people. The very first guest I hosted was Becky Gerritsen, the president of the Wetumpka Tea Party. And I remember back in like 2012, she was right in front of a House committee talking about the IRS targeting of Tea Party and conservative groups. And she said, I'm not a surfer or vassal. I'm a born free American woman. And I'm here to tell you that you have failed to listen to the people and take care of them and do your job. And for me to have her, of all people, I mean, she's been one of my biggest role models in my life. She helped me really get one of my first internships in D.C., and I probably would not have had a shot without her. In fact, without her, the show probably wouldn't even be here at this point because she was such a role model to me. And for her to come out and, you know, speak to my group as the first speaker, I mean, we've had a good relationship since. She's, you know, I really see great things for her life, and she's been such an inspiration for me. I mean, that was my Calvin Cochran moment. But, you know, I'm glad we were able to kind of wrap things up on a good note. Nick, you know, the floor is yours. What's the biggest thing you want young student activists to kind of take home at this point? Because, you know, you got to carry the good and the bad, but what's the thing that tells you keep going, don't give up?
Well, get involved early. If I was I was talking to a high school senior a couple of weeks ago who was going to college, and I said, get involved early. If you can find a student organization to get involved with, get involved, work with them, get on their leadership board, get some leadership experience, and realize why you're fighting the good fight. You're not fighting it for the number of attendees. You're not fighting it for, the food that's going to be there or the biggest name speaker.
Chick-fil-A is an incentive.
Oh my goodness. You know, pizza. I'd say Chick-fil-A more than pizza, but Chick-fil-A is a great incentive to go to an event. but we're not doing it for the numbers. And when you think about it, if you only had 15 people at an event and you were expecting 50, those 15 people are most likely going to be the leaders in D.C. Those 15 people are going to be the ones that are going to make the differences. So even though you have a small number, realize that those people that are there are probably the ones that are going to fight the fight along with you. And that's a great encouragement for young people getting involved. Because not all of those 60 people are going to love liberty like we do. And those 60 people aren't going to go out and fight for good candidates or issues, but those 15 people will. So fight the good fight early on. Realize why you're fighting it. Is it because you're passionate about religious liberty or Second Amendment rights or constitutional carry or permitless carry? You know, why are you fighting it? Realize it. Learn to love that, research it, you know, read on it, and really have a firm foundation in what you believe, and take that foundation and apply it to everything in politics.
Very, very, very true. Nick, we've got to end the show. If people want to reach out to you, follow you online, how could they do so?
Look me up on Facebook at Nicholas Hamilton. That's NICHOLAS Hamilton. Or go to my website, NicholasHamilton.org.
Outstanding. Nick, it's always a blast to have you on, brother. Thank you so much again for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Remzo, and thank you to everybody in the studio.
Outstanding stuff. Folks, you heard him. You've got to have the drive, and, you know, I say jokingly Nick and I were the radicals, but, you know, we pushed the limit. We learned how far we could go with things because, you know, one of my biggest role models in life was Barry Goldwater, not just because I'm biased because we're both from Arizona, but, you know, maybe that's because of it. But, you know, at the 1964 Republican nominating convention for president, he went on stage and he basically backhanded the establishment. He said, extremism in the pursuit of liberty is no vice, and moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue. And there's no better time to learn that, to make the mistakes, to have the shortcomings, but to have the great successes and to see what could potentially come than being a student activist. But what's one thing you could do right now if you want to make an impact, like right now? Well, subscribe to the show on iTunes or Stitcher, Google Play, Podchaser, all those great places, and leave us a 5-star rating and a great review. It helps us grow. It helps us work out stuff with our sponsors. It helps keep producer Ryan happy and everyone else, and ultimately Team Republic can keep charging forward. As always, follow me on Facebook and Twitter, and, you know, be good to your neighbor. Go out and treat yourself, though, and tune in next time, America. I'm Remso W. Martinez. Good night.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?